Welcome to Engaging the Issues, West Virginia's only program dedicated to engaging conversations about the issues affecting our families. I'm Jeremy Dice, your host and president of the Family Policy Council of West Virginia. The Boy Scouts of America are as much an institution of this country as apple pie and baseball. For over a century, the Scouts have been training boys to be men and the future leaders of our culture. It is also the latest target by activists who mask the redefinition of gender in terms of today's religion of tolerance. John Stemberger is the president and general counsel of the Florida Family Policy Council. Not only is he a highly respected attorney in Florida and an advocate for life, marriage, and the family for more than three decades, John is an Eagle Scout who is leading a coalition of concerned parents, Scout leaders, Eagle Scouts, and others in support of Scouting's timeless values and opposition to open homosexuality in the Boy Scouts. John, thanks for joining me today on Engaging the Issues.
Jeremy, it's great to be with you.
Some of our listeners may not be aware of what's going on with the Scouts today, John. They may remember that the Boy Scouts defended their policies against homosexual Scout leaders before the Supreme Court of the United States, but have probably lost track of the debate since then. Bring us up to speed. Why are the Boy Scouts back in the news today? What is the crux of the debate, and why does it matter?
Well, goodness, some of the history behind this is that the Supreme Court in 2000 actually affirmed the principles of Scouting and protected the Scouting program and allowed that their membership policy to prohibit open homosexuality in the program, because the court said as long as Scouting values are inconsistent with open homosexuality, that they were able to prevent that from being in the program. And so that protection was there. As early as 2012, there was a two-year study done between 2010 and 2012 where they spent a lot of time. There was a special task force, and they concluded after that two-year study that this ended in summer of 2012, that it was in the best interest of the Boy Scouts in the program that they continue their membership policy the way they are. Now, what happened after that, after they reaffirmed that policy, basically, a couple things happened. Number one, the cultural bullies of our day begin to scream very, very loud. And also, there were some religious leaders, particularly within the Episcopal Church, where they have openly ordained gay men, who said, look, we can't serve in a scout as a scoutmaster, but yet we can serve as a minister within our church. We don't think that's consistent. We want a scouting that's consistent with our religion. Which my argument to that is, look, you're entitled to change your morals and values to make them more like Hollywood and culture if you want, but that doesn't mean Scouting has to bow then to the idol of cultural relativism and change its values and its Scout law and Scout oath as well. So that brings us to our debate here. Because of that pressure, there are some leaders within Scouting at a very top level that are attempting to craft a policy that each unit would be able to determine whether or not they're going to have open homosexuality within the program. The problem with that is myriad. You lose the protection of the United States Supreme Court under BSA versus Dale. Each unit then would be subject to litigation of being sued if they don't accept the policy. And you lose the cohesiveness and the consistency of Scouting. I mean, Jeremy, if us as parents, if we have to say, is this a gay troop or a non-gay troop, we're not going to go for that. That makes Scouting a risky proposition, which parents are not going to buy into.
Well, John, you mentioned the Scout Oath, and it opens with a Scout promising to do his duty to God and closes with a promise that he will keep himself morally straight. How does this proposed change support that oath?
Well, I mean, the problem is that the people who are driving this change, they're not looking at the Scout Oath. They're not looking at the Scout Law. And in fact, the top executive of Scouting was in Orlando recently, and he basically said, look, the culture is changing. He's completely buying into this inevitability argument. So instead of Scouting leading the way in what it means to be morally straight, we're putting our fingers in the air and we're saying, oh, we have to be relevant to the culture and the Hollywood, and we have to follow them. And this is entirely inappropriate. I mean, what does it say, Jeremy, to young men when we're trying to teach them to be brave, and yet we don't have the courage to stand up to the cultural bullies of the day, Madonna, Bill Gates, and others, who just want to try to transform society fundamentally?
Well, perhaps we need to just ask the most blunt of the questions, John. Aren't there already open homosexual Scouts in the Boy Scouts, and what would this policy shift actually change?
Well, this is the thing that I've been saying, and I'm kind of taking the ugly cloak off the whole thing, but currently Scouting does not discriminate based upon sexual orientation. I mean, there's no question in the membership form about what's your orientation, whether you're gay, whatever. So as long as you can take that scout manual and deliver it to boys, nobody has a problem with that. And those of us that have been around the program for a while, we know who the adults are and the boys are that are more than likely probably homosexual. But they're appropriate, they are discreet, they're private, and they don't act out crazy like gay activists do openly and try to promote open homosexuality. So that's what they want. The irony of this whole thing is that, look, you know, you can have a same-sex attraction and be a member of good standing within scouting and fully participate. But that's not good enough for gay activists. What they want is to openly promote sex and politics in the program. They want to promote gay activism, gay marriage, rainbow flags, loud and proud, and that is just utterly inappropriate when we're talking about boys and tiger cubs as early as 6 and 7 years old.
Well, one of my greatest concerns in thinking through this is the impact that this press for tolerance in the Boy Scouts may have upon religious liberty. Let's start with how it might affect the local troop. Over 70% of Scout units are chartered to faith-based organizations, most of which are churches, or at least they're affiliated with churches. If the Scouts cave to these demands and churches housing them disagree with the celebration of homosexual behavior, well, who wins?
Well, I tell you what's going to happen. One thing that's going to happen is there'll be a flood of litigation. Millions and millions of dollars will be spent. Any unit, any chartering organization that does not accept, if that's what the resolution is, and we want to be fair here because the resolution is going to come out about the 17th or the 18th of this month, and it's possible they could do the right thing, but right now it doesn't look like that's where they're headed. And so, but if they were to allow each unit to decide, they would lose the protection of BSA versus Dale. And under non-discrimination laws, whether state or local, then that VFW would be sued for discriminating against gays. And then ultimately, you know, BSA is saying, well, churches will be protected because they have the First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Well, the problem is this. A chartering unit with scouting is not a ministry of the church. It doesn't come from their budget. There's a separate leadership structure. It's a subsidiary of the church. And because of that legal distinction, they will not get the protection of the First Amendment that a church gets, and they too will be sued. Churches will just say, look, it's not worth it. They'll drop scout units. I mean, this is going to literally crush the entire program if they make this change. It'll crush it legally. It'll crush it financially. It'll crush it socially and from an integrity and trust standpoint of parents.
Let's say we can get around those problems for the organizations, and we can actually craft some sort of an exemption that will somehow protect churches as well as maybe the subsidiaries even within the church bodies from being able to hold to their belief system and then also support the scouts without endorsing the behavior to which the church has a moral objection. What then of the individual parents of scouts and the individual scouts themselves? What would this decision mean for the religious liberty of scout parents as well as those children participating?
Well, I mean, you know, under the model that they're proposing, each chartering unit would decide based upon their faith, if it is a faith group. And by the way, the top four denominations, which comprise 75% of all scouting, is number one, LDS, the Mormons, number two, the Methodist Church, which has already come out with a statement that's on our site at onmyhonor.net. They have an official statement saying that they do not agree with any potential change. Number three is the Catholics, and then number four is the Southern Baptists, and they've come out very, very strong with a whole resolution opposing this systematically. So, you know, this is going to have significant implications for the program. It will be completely transformed if they do this. Depending on what the language is, we still want to see what the resolution is going to be. But if it's anything like what they're proposing a month or so ago, that's going to be very destructive to the entire program.
You referenced at the top of the show the Boy Scouts decision versus Dale, the decision of the Supreme Court of the United States that not only held that the Boy Scouts as a private organization had the right to define its own community, but did so based upon the Scouts' dedication to its moral values. That helped prevent many abuses by Scout leaders on young Scouts, but I think your primary concern with this potential policy change is not the potential for leader-on-Scout abuse, but rather Scout-to-Scout abuse. Is that about right?
That's exactly correct, and this is what I predict. Because scouting has such a strict child protection policy, and it's one of the best in the nation, it's the too deep leadership, meaning no one leader can be alone with any boy at any time unless it's his own son. So there has to be at least two leaders together with any single boy at any time. That prevents the possibility of there may be any kind of sexual or emotional abuse. So what I think the problem is going to be, it's not adult gay pedophilia. It'll be boy-on-boy sexual contact, which will result in further scandal to the scouting program, and not to mention the tragedy of just, you know, the sexual, psychological, and emotional abuse. Jeremy, here's my thing. If even one boy is going to be violated and have his life changed forever in the way he thinks about sexuality and his persona because of a change in this policy, then we should not do it. What we ought to be concerned with is in the best interest of the boys, not what is in the best interest of some gay priest out in the Northeast. This is what absolutely stuns me about the program, that they're considering this. And we want folks to go to onmyhonor.net and send a respectful message to all those people voting that we have queued up in our system and just say, no, keep the policy the way it is. We love Boy Scouts. We want to keep it just the way it is historically.
You recently had a commentary published in the USA Today in which you said, quote, "I say better a Boy Scout program with much less funding and much more integrity than one that is willing to sell its soul by compromising on the timeless principles that have inspired millions of boys to become responsible men," unquote. You know, I recently talked with a lobbyist here for the local Scouts who asked me what I would do if the major lifeline for the Scouts is threatened like it is being today. Based on what you said in the USA Today, I think I know your answer, but let me ask you, can Scouting survive without the major donors who are threatening to leave without this policy change?
Well, I tell you what Scouting can't survive without, and that is, it's not the corporate money. My understanding is that the major funding of the approximately $3 million budget of Scouting, $300 million budget of Scouting, is really private foundations and private individuals, landholders that are, you know, giving gifts of property and that kind of thing. That's really the significant donors. The corporations, you know, create a percentage of funding, but not the big money, and they're getting all the attention. So I think that what they can't afford to lose is the rank and file donors, I would submit, who largely don't like this idea, and so they run some serious financial risk. There's so many people, like right now, I'm writing a check to my local council and saying, I will. It's a pledge, actually. It's not a check. I'm writing a pledge saying, look, after May 23rd, if you guys make the right decision, you'll get the money. If you don't, then you're not going to. And there's so many parents like that with regard to Philmont registrations, with regard to National Jamboree. They're just waiting. They are waiting to see what this decision is. And I believe that this program will literally implode from the standpoint of human capital and financial capital if they make the wrong decision and change their membership policies.
Well, that same lobbyist said to me something to the effect of, if the mission of the Scouts is to train boys to be tomorrow's leaders and tomorrow's culture is one that accepts open homosexual behavior, why shouldn't we change to prepare these leaders for that tomorrow? Well, how do you respond to those that argue that the acceptance of open homosexual behavior is inevitable in our culture anyway? We should be preparing Scouts for that very world.
I would say that's just nonsense. You know, this question about being on the wrong side of history, you know, there's 103 years of tradition and success in Scouting. If it's not broken, don't fix it. I mean, you know, Scouting is one of the icons of American culture. It's a part of the very fiber of America. You know, some things shouldn't change, Jeremy, because they weren't meant to change. You know, I mean, some things were meant to be the same. And Scouting can't say, oh, we have timeless values, and then turn around and change. I mean, Canada let atheists in addition to homosexuals. Why? Because they felt like that reflected their culture. Well, if Scouting begins to change because of shifting culture and moral relativism, there's really no end to the kind of change in the future that can come to Scouting, which will fundamentally transform it. They need to stand firm. They need to put on their big boy pants and say, you know what? We are the BSA, and we're going to repeat the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. We're not going to play around with words. Morally straight means morally straight, and we're going to do the right thing.
John, you've mentioned this a couple times already in your discussion here, but I can't help but think that the major donors here and some of the upper echelon of the Scout leaders here that are withholding their donations to the Scouts or wanting to move in this culturally relative kind of direction that you've discussed are simply acting like bullies. I want you to respond to this question. If the Scouts cave to that very bullying, what does that teach our Scouts as they prepare to go forward as young men?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, here we are trying to teach bravery in the Scout Law to young people, and yet, you know, we have top leaders of Scouting who are not brave enough to stand up to homosexual activists, whether they be in the wider culture or whether they be in Episcopal churches for that matter, and just say, no, look, if you want to be a part of scouting, you have to be a part of scouting. Scouting is not going to evolve and morally transform itself just to accommodate some religious group that's all of a sudden transformed their morals and values to be popular instead of being right.
Well, as an Eagle Scout and a scouting parent, you've taken some proactive steps to oppose this policy by forming OnMyHonor.net. Tell us about this coalition. What is your goal, and how can our listeners get involved?
Well, we are holding ourselves out as the official coalition of members of the Boy Scouts of America. We are parents, Eagle Scouts, Scoutmasters, donors, and alumni of scouting. And we're just saying, look, keep the membership policy the same. We've created the website OnMyHonor.net. It's a national hub where people are coming from all over the country. They're uploading their photographs. And they're signing the petition. They're sending emails out to the scout leaders that we have contacts for and saying, look, keep the membership policy the way it is. We want to show scouting leaders that the rank and file do not believe this is a good thing. It's certainly not in the best interest of the boys, and that's where our focus ought to be, not on homosexual activists or gay priests somewhere or whatever. It's not in the best interest of the boys, and it shouldn't happen.
Well, John, thank you for helping the Boy Scouts to do their duty to God, to the country, to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep themselves physically strong, mentally awake, and I think most importantly right now, to keep themselves morally straight. And thanks for joining me today on Engaging the Issues.
Thanks, Jeremy. This has been a great show.
Discussing the Boy Scouts may seem a bit off course for a program like Engaging the Issues, but it's not. In fact, what the Boy Scouts are facing right now is really a microcosm of the cultural change that we are experiencing in the world around us. First, we see the battle over religious liberty. On past episodes of Engaging the Issues, we have explored how progressives are attempting to alter what religious liberty actually means, confining it to the right to worship. Rather than allow the robust religious liberty that our founders articulated, many today want to limit such a right to the four walls under a church steeple. Well, this is not religious liberty. It's a governmentally prescribed and sequestered religion. If religious thoughts and beliefs are permitted beyond the vestibule, then it must adhere to the reigning cultural morality of the day. That, as we have also explored on past episodes, is the religion of tolerance. Gone is a standard of objective morality, and even the past meaning of tolerance, wherein we can disagree with each other in our search for what is truly true. In its place is left the religion of tolerance that says, if you disagree with me, not only are you irrational in your thinking, you are bigoted and morally bankrupt. That is precisely the fight here with the Boy Scouts of America. Some masquerading as religious leaders have demanded that their liberal view of the truth be heard, and not just heard, but adopted by all to the exclusion of any other viewpoint. Rather than permit the debate to see which worldview withstands both reason and reality, opposing views are deemed less tolerant and summarily dismissed as intolerant, homophobic, and even immoral. Today it is the Boy Scouts. A few weeks ago it was the issue of marriage. Last year, it was the issue of bullying and harassment at schools. This legislative session in West Virginia, it has been the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Tomorrow, who knows what it'll be? What is certain is that there will continue to be a clash of worldviews that rejects absolute standards of morality, save the absolute standard of tolerance. What the Boy Scouts are realizing is that this is a very difficult way to develop policy. As you heard John say, how can you tell the Supreme Court of the United States that you have timeless values and then within a decade change those very values? That hits at a secondary illustration of a broader issue over which our society is also wrestling, that of gender and human sexuality, both of which directly impact our understanding of human relationships, especially that chief of human relationships, marriage. Notice that the goal here is not to permit homosexual members of the Boy Scouts. John says they already have those there. No, the goal is to demand the celebration of gender redefined, or at least defined down. Essentially, activists are suggesting that the Boy Scouts simply drop their first name. To them, there's nothing unique, nothing to be gained by emphasizing that boys grow up to be men. And if they do, there's nothing distinct about the male gender. Instead, activists point to the chief virtue of society as that to be grasped by the scouts. That is not trustworthiness, loyalty, friendliness, courteousness, kindness, obedience, cheerfulness, thriftiness, bravery, cleanliness, or reverence, or at least those are not character traits that ought to be reserved only for the male gender. Rather, the chief virtue for everyone, boy or girl, man or woman, or somewhere in between, is tolerance. Tolerance of what? Well, that depends on the person demanding it. Base your worldview on timeless values, as the Boy Scouts heretofore have done, and you are intolerant and out of date. The Boy Scouts are officially in a listening mode. That much is clear. If that is the case, and you are associated with the Boy Scouts, whether or now or in the past, you need to give them something to listen to. I'm grateful that John has initiated onmyhonor.net to provide a conduit for your voice to be heard by those who claim to be listening. Be sure to tell them, graciously but firmly, to resist demands to make Boy Scouts converts to the religion of tolerance. Instead, remind them of the duty every Scout has to God and country to be morally straight. My thanks to John Stemberger for joining me today. You can learn more about his efforts to talk back to the Boy Scouts by going to onmyhonor.net. Don't forget about the upcoming gubernatorial prayer breakfast on the morning of May the 2nd. Tickets to join Don Nealon, Governor Tomlin, and others are on sale now at familypolicywv.com. Engaging the Issues is supported by the faith-based giving of families like yours. We welcome your financial partnership at familypolicywv.com, where you can also learn more about how the Family Policy Council of West Virginia is advancing, defending, and equipping West Virginia's families through policy, politics, and preparation. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/FPCWV, and be sure to visit our blog at engagefamilyminute.com to learn how you can engage the issues as well.